defining moments. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, and if you don't have one, then it could be an imaginary neighbor, which is even funner, because you can imagine it to be whoever you want it to be, right? SpongeBob, I mean, right? Krusty Krab. Anyway, turn to your neighbor and say, have you ever had a defining moment? And what is a defining moment? I'm glad you asked. It's a very important point in a period of time, an important event, changing a situation, a decisive moment that hits a climax, a critical moment, a crossroads, a moment of truth, a point of no return, a turning point, a character-defining moment, a pivotal event, significantly altering our characters, our personalities, our motivation, our beliefs. All of life's moments, all of life's defining moments, and every one of us have had a defining moment in time. All of us have had a pivotal experience that changed us somehow in some way. And all of those defining moments leads every one of us to a crossroad. This morning, my title is called Crossroad, and you can turn your neighbor and say, we're at the crossroads this morning. You know, there's so many different aspects to life, but the very most important aspect of life is the spiritual sense in life. And if the spiritual life does not govern the rest of the aspects of life, the things that we see, nothing will click, nothing will fall in place. Many of us, every day, this is what it looks like. Do I go right or do I go left? Look at this one here. We got a picture, and this is so true. Look at how many people are going left instead of going right. There's one person. Remember that verse that Jesus shared? He said, broad is the road that leads to hell, and many are traveling on that road. But what did he say? There's a narrow road. It's small, it's hard to get to. The narrow road, and only a few. In this picture, there's only one who's getting on the right path. There's so many experiences that when Jesus was here, so many things happened on the right side and not on the left side. All the harvest, all the blessing, all the goodness, all the kindness of God. Where did it happen? It happened on the right side. But why is it so many of us easily choose the left side in certain moments of life? Crossroads. And so this morning, I ask you to take a step back, to think, to listen, because there is a crossroad here in this moment. There will be a crossroad here for you today. With our Bibles, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. It's funny, when Kim and I got married, we went to the Philippines. It's because we killed someone, but we had to run away. Just kidding. We're going on a mission trip, and we get there, and we get to a marriage conference, and I hope none of you have gone to one like this. It was weird, because we get there, and we're in this marriage conference, and it wasn't like, oh, you know, if you go to one here in America, you know, you get your own room, you get all this nice stuff, but in there was like four other couples in the same room. We're at a marriage conference, and we didn't have a room to ourselves, so it was like awkward from the beginning. Anyway, so the first night, the person sharing was talking about opposites. And how many, you know, have you realized, if you've ever been in a relationship, most of us realize there is a difference between being a man and being a woman. Right? Have we figured that out? Yeah. So they had us list all the things for every married couple. What makes you different? What are your opposites? And Kim and I, at that point, I think we've been married maybe 2 or 3 months. All the other married couples who had been there, they put like 5 things. But Kim and I, again, being married 2 to 3 months, we had like 2 pages. We went through and we were writing out all of our differences and opposites. So we won a bag of M&Ms, which is so beautiful. I think full, which hopefully some of us are full this morning, so that our hummocks, our stomachs, not our hummocks, our hummock, our stomach aren't speaking. So our stomach can be full or empty, good versus bad, happy versus sad, dark versus light, truth versus lies, cheap versus expensive, which all of us hopefully don't, we're on the left of that. Clean versus dirty, deep versus shallow, shallow hell, down versus up, early versus late, some like to get up early, some like to get up late, easy versus difficult, most like easy, not difficult, far versus near. But the greatest difference this morning as we get into the scriptures is to see the difference between God and the devil. The God, our God, who created the world versus the devil. Have you ever felt tired? Feeling like I'm just trying to like help too many people out? Have you ever been tired because you feel like you need to be, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman at work? Have you ever felt exhausted? Just overwhelmed because you're trying to help so many people. Maybe meet certain demands. Maybe have you ever been tired trying to be something for someone or something, or maybe someone's family, friends? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And I have to say this morning, not in a bad way, but you know, there's been people who've made millions and millions and millions of dollars making little picture frames, little things, and we just need to say a little prayer, and Jesus is going to zap us with rest. But if you read through the scripture here, was Jesus saying, "Come to me and I'm going to zap you and you're going to be full of rest"? No, he said, "You'll find rest when you learn to be like me." But how many of us have heard over and over again, "I just need to pray to Jesus and he's going to make everything right. Just need to pray to Jesus and zap, boom, baby, yes, I got it." Jesus was not saying that. He was saying, everything that you're looking for, and rest is one of the things that we're all looking for, can only be found when you truly learn to follow and be like Jesus. Being like Jesus, following after Jesus, you will find every single thing that you're looking for. And so this morning, our topic, again, is crossroads. And many of us here this morning, spiritually, this is where we're at. We're looking left, we're looking right, and we're trying to decide the decision. Where do I go? Do I go left? Do I go right? Am I going to follow all my friends? Am I going to follow my family to the left? Or will I follow Jesus, the one, to the right? Opposites this morning, understanding that in making every decision, understanding, weighing all the options, seeing the differences between the choices and the roads that we must take. There is a big, clear difference this morning with voices, with people that are in our life, that are in other people's lives. Everyone speaks and everyone has a voice. But the biggest question is, what voice do we listen to? If there's God, there's a devil. There's God and there is. There absolutely is a devil. And which one do I listen to more every day when I stand before the roads that I choose? And with that, Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied. "Here I am." "Take your son, your only son." "Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much. Go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, to which I will show you." The next morning, he's not a procrastinator. Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for fire, for a burnt offering, and he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, turn to your neighbor and say, third day. There's a lot that happens on that third day of their journey. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel just a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. And then we will come right back. Verse 6, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, carrying the weight of the sacrifice, while he himself carried just the fire and the knife, because older guys get to carry the fun stuff. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to his dad and said, Father? Yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire. We have the wood, the boy said. But where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide. Huh? God will provide. What? God will provide. I can't see it. Where? God will provide for the burnt offering. My son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. It's about to get crazy. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. The angel said, do not hurt him in any way. For now I know you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Many read the stories of God and get confused. Many read the Bible and they want to argue. Complain. I don't understand. Why would God want me to kill my son? Why did God send people to war? Why was there war in the Old Testament? Why were people fighting? Why did innocent people die? Why? 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 It's funny because how many people have we ever heard them question the Bible? How many of us have ever heard someone question God? But those same people, how many of them have ever questioned themselves when they said a bad word? When they had a bad thought? We like to question everybody else in the world except when it comes to ourselves. Because how many of us know every one of us, we are so sweet, amazing, handsome. But if we hear something that seems awkward, and maybe the story this morning seems awkward, that God would ask someone to sacrifice. And this man, he waited 100 years for this son, Isaac. He waited a long time. He was 100, his wife was 90. They were old, wrinkly, had the pins on already. They were old, and yet they were able to have a child, which is amazing in itself. There was a miracle, it was a miracle baby. Isaac, meaning laughter, because they're laughing like, how in the heck did this happen at our age? They were so happy. This man waited for his promise, this son, for 100 years. So then why would God ask him to sacrifice the very one thing, the one thing that he waited 100 years for? Some of us this morning were asking the same thing. Seems like God's asking just a little too much. Seems like God... Man, God wants me to go to Africa. I gotta be a missionary over there. God wants me to go to China. I gotta pass out Bibles. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, used to be the biggest joke. I get saved, God's gonna send me on a mission trip somewhere. I'm gonna go to China, Russia, I'm gonna go to Africa. Everyone's so deathly afraid. What would God He said, follow me. He said, take up your cross. Man, that seems like a lot. Have you ever felt this morning the things that God asks us to do are just too tough? I wonder for Abraham in this situation, for him, what was he thinking? What was he feeling as the God that he'd come to believe in, the God that he came to trust and put all of his life in? What was he thinking when God said, I want you to kill and sacrifice your only son? What was going through Abraham's mind? I have to think on a human perspective and a human level for a minute. He's thinking, God has lost it. God is, whew. Why? Because, see, before this, God had promised Abraham, who was Abraham, to give him a son who would become the heir, who would take over the family clan, right, and inherit all the money, all the blessing. So Isaac was the promised one. He was the one that was promised. It was prophesied that he would have this son. So why did God change his mind? How many of us change our mind daily? There's some of us in here who change our mind hourly and by the minute sometimes. I'm nice, I'm kind, and now I hate your guts. We can go from happy, sad. How many of us know on the spectrum, man? We can get all over quick. God doesn't change his mind. But God does have a plan. Abraham, it says that in the beginning of the text, it was a test of his faith. And if we scroll through and remember the words that we read, God asked him, sacrifice your son, your favorite son, because he did have another. But I want you to sacrifice your favorite son. He got up early. Abraham wasn't a procrastinator. I procrastinate at times doing different things, you know, work assignments, other things, chores around the house sometimes. It's like, wait. How many of us, we procrastinate? We've learned to put things off in life. But unfortunately, see, again, sometimes when we've learned to procrastinate in life, we've allowed that to affect our spiritual life. And God, maybe last week, maybe yesterday, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, saying, speaking, feeling something inside. I'm hearing his voice. I'm hearing something. I'm feeling something. God's asking me, I can just do it next week. I can just put that off to next week. Abraham learned when God calls, I act immediately. He went to bed and he got up early. God thing, number one thing, when God speaks, it is that comes, it goes to the top of the list. Whatever God is asking of me, it moves to the top of my list. God becomes my number one priority. The mission, the purpose, the plan that God says, it goes to the top. So he got up early the next morning. He traveled for 3 days. 3 days. He says to his servants, notice what he said to his servants, we will worship and then we will come back. How did he know that? How did Abraham know? I mean, the guy, he tied his son up, he had fire, he even brought out the knife to his son's throat. So how did he know before that moment that to say to his servants, it wasn't, I will be back when I'm done killing my son. He didn't say that to the servants. He didn't say, I'm going to go sacrifice my son, I'm going to chop him up, burn him on the fire, and then I'll be back. He didn't say that. How did he know we will come back? We. How did he know in his heart and his mind and his soul? How was Abraham so confident we will come back? Because it wasn't like the guy just took his son up there and looked on the hill and said, this is a nice day. Let's go, Isaac. He was going through with it. Abraham was going through with the plan. He was doing every single thing that God asked of him. And I want you to see the situation. It's not what God asked Abraham in the moment. This is where all of us get stuck. It's not what God asked of Abraham. It's not. It's nothing to do with what God asked Abraham. But we're going to get back to what it really is. Let's go to Genesis. Remember, opposites, different. Opposites, dark versus light. Truth versus light, right? God versus the devil. Genesis 3:1 says, the serpent was shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. We just can't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the one that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. To take this verse, remember Abraham, remember Isaac, remember that God asked him to sacrifice his son. And all of us thinking, oh, God's asking so much. How much, what does he want me to give? What do I have to sacrifice? It's not about the sacrifice. And then we take a look at the devil. What's the devil doing here? He's disguising himself. He's disguising himself. Do any of us celebrate Halloween and disguise ourselves and put on a costume? You know, it's funny because Halloween, you know, just like Christmas, Easter, this thing that comes around once a year that people celebrate and they dress up, they put on a costume. But honestly, let's be super honest this morning, many of us do that every single day. We leave our house pretending to be something that we're not. Many of us, we get dressed up and we get dolled up or we get buffed up, we blow up the muscles. We go out and we pretend to be different than who we really are.
Oh, preacher.
So many people are actors, entertainers, when they leave their house completely different person than they are at home. The devil in this story, remember Crossroads, remember we're talking about opposites, God versus the devil. We talked about what God asked. He asked for everything in that story. What is the devil like? Well, number one, he likes to disguise himself. And number two, what does the devil like to do? He likes to question God's word. God really said love everybody? Because that person is unlovable. God really said forgive 400 billion times? That person is not worth forgiving. Did God really say I have to give my whole life to him? What does the devil do in this situation? He disguises himself as a friend. He disguises himself as a family member. He disguises himself as a coworker. He disguises himself through music, through movies. He disguises himself through these lovely smartphones. He disguises himself everywhere we go and everything that we do constantly. There's a constant war and a constant battle. Just like that. Who am I listening to? What does the devil do? He disguises and he lies and he gets us to question God's word. Should I really forgive with all my heart? Should I really love everybody? Should I really follow after Jesus? I don't think God really wants me to do all that. We see in another story, Jesus, this is Jesus and the devil having a direct conversation. Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted, and then he became hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are a good person, if you really are a man, if you really are a lady, a woman, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus told them, no, scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. They live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. Verse 7, Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you shouldn't test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give this all to you, he said, if you just kneel down and worship me. And Jesus said, get out of here, Satan. He told them, because the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so if we look at the two scriptures talking about the serpent and the devil, he disguised himself, he questioned God, and he lied. In this text here, what did he do? This is with the Son of God. This is with the Messiah. This is the Hefe. This is Jesus, God himself, the big boss. What did he do with three little things in the conversation with the devil? The devil said, let's talk about your stomach. Let's talk about what you're hungry for. Let's talk about what you put through your eyes. Let's talk about what you put in your body. Let's talk about what you listen to. Let's talk about how you get your needs met. He was trying to get the Son of God off the mission. He was trying to turn Jesus' head from the mission of God to the mission of self. I love myself. What were the three things he wanted him to do? Defeat his stomach? Well, is feeding our stomachs a bad thing? No. But it speaks more than feeding our stomach. It's feeding the desires, because so many people live for themselves, and I have to meet every one of the desires I have in my life. I have to focus on myself. I have to take care of myself. I need to focus on my hunger. I need to focus on my looks. I need to focus on this. It's always about me. If you listen to certain people, they're always talking about how they're trying to better themselves over and over and over and over again. The hunger that I have, if I'm hungry for something, I'm going to eat. Because how many of us know if we don't eat, we starve to death? Right? The devil is there. Every single situation we have, what? He's trying to get your head off the mission and focus on the hunger. Focus on the desire. Secondly, what did he say to Jesus? Hey, you're the Son of God. You can jump off the temple and fly like an angel. Your angels will catch you. The second thing he was trying to get Jesus to do was get focused on his own image. Come on. Let's be honest. How many people are focused on their own image? How many selfies are taken daily? How many selfies are taken daily by the hour? At lunch places, breakfast places, at the workplace, at school, at home. How many people are constantly taking pictures of what? The devil in this story with Jesus was trying to get him off the mission and focus on his image. Well, this is how I need to look. This is how I need to dress. I need to talk a certain way. I got to focus on my image. God says that we're born and made in whose image? Not our own, but he said he made us in his image. And if we're made in his image, he said, who do you belong to? You belong to the one who created you. Image, hunger. How many things do people do daily because they're trying to fit the image? How many adults at work do things and they talk about conversations with people, about other people? You know, for men, no offense, there's a lot of dirty talk that happens in the workplace. And for ladies, I don't know, because I'm not one, right? I don't know if you talk about at work. Hopefully good things, right? But we know our mouths, how many of us, it's funny because we get so judgy on other people, but how many of us in a moment we will do things to fit into an image of the people that we're around. This is the devil. It's not ourselves. This is the devil who's trying to influence every one of us. You need to feed this desire. You need to feed this hunger of your life. You need to feed this part of you. You need to feed this. You need to do this for your image. This is what your image needs. And lastly, he takes Jesus to a point, and he says, you know, I can give you the world if you just bow down and worship me. If you just bow down and worship me, Jesus, I will give you the world. world. The battle for our heart and what we adore. Every one of us in here this morning, there are things that we adore in our life. Now, I adore my wife. I adore my 5 kids, even when they're naughty. But we won't go into that, really. Many of us adore what we drive. Many adore where we work. Some of us adore our friends. So many of us adore people in our life who are taking the place of God. And the devil in this text, remember, we're looking at the difference between God and the devil. We knew that God said to Abraham, I want you to take and sacrifice the most important thing in your life. Ouch. That sounds harsh. And then we see the devil. Man, he's just a liar. He tells half-truths. There's nothing bad about that. He disguises himself. He dresses up. Nothing wrong with that either, right? Where is his voice and where his lies lay every day? And what you're looking for? What you're looking for in yourself? What you feel about yourself? How you look at yourself in the mirror? What you think? What you want others to think about you? And what you adore. The battle this morning is what we adore. There are people this morning who adore themselves. They bow down in front of a mirror and they worship and adore themselves. Oh, great mirror, I look so good today. There are people, again, who adore their cars. They adore their bank accounts when it's full and juicy and lovely. I love it when the bank says I got a lot in there. Some people adore money beyond anything else. It's the only thing they think about. It's the only thing that controls how they feel. And then, to be honest, it's friends, it's guys, it's girls, it's relationships. Any of these things, if they take the place of God, it's a sin. If there's anything to you that's more important than God himself, that is a sin. And the devil, what is his goal? Every day, we know it's to lie to us. He uses half-truths. It's to question God. He disguises himself as friends in our phones, in the workplace, everywhere we go. For what? 3 things. You need to take care of you. You need to be happy. Don't care about anybody else. You need to work on your image. And you need to adore this. As we get back to our original text this morning, we're going to actually jump to Matthew 27, verse 45. We're going to start landing the plane here in a couple hours. Just kidding. We'll wrap up sooner than that. Matthew 27, 45 says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why did you abandon me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. The rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. And at that moment, the sanctuary, the temple, was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split apart. Tombs were opened. Bodies of many godly men and women died, were raised from the dead. And so now, as we think about this scripture, the death of Jesus Christ, as he's there on the cross and he's dying and he gave up his spirit, we would go back and we reflect from our opening text of Genesis 22. God said to Abraham, sacrifice your only son. It says this was a test of faith. But why? Why, God? This is too much. It's too much to give. You're asking too much. God, now you're getting crazy. God, now you are getting a little, whoo, wow, like no way. This mountain that Abraham and Isaac were on, it is believed that it's the same mountain that God gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And so if you think of this picture and understand, was Abraham truly, honestly going to kill his son? Maybe spiritually. Because maybe Isaac had become more important than God. And so maybe he needed to let go of his son that he waited 100 years for. But physically, he wasn't going to kill his son. Why? Because the minute he picked up the knife and began to get close to his son, the angel stopped him and said, "Abraham, Abraham, don't. Now I know God is more important to you than anything. You were willing to give the most important thing in your life." And as Abraham turned, what was it? There was a ram and the thorn stuck in the bushes. He didn't see it before. It wasn't there 2 minutes ago. The whole time, the whole story is about what? God gives, God provides. If you fully trust and obey God's word, he will provide. He gives. And so we take that text with Abraham and Isaac, and we get stuck. Oh my gosh, God wants us to sacrifice something. I have to give up my car, or I got to give up, you know, this. It's not about what God is asking for. Because at the end of the story, was it what he was asking for? Or was the story more about what God was giving? God asked for Abraham's son, but in the end, in the text that we just read, who gave their son? God did. We get so caught up on ourselves, let's be honest. We get so caught up in so many thoughts in our head. And then we have to be super honest this morning. There is a devil disguising himself, tricking, lying, every one of us, every single day, trying to get us to make a wrong decision. Trying to think something bad about God's word. Trying to think something bad about God. Trying to think bad about church. I hate church. I hate Christian people. The devil constantly lying. The devil. Why? Because he doesn't want you to focus on what God has given. Before Jesus died, Luke 23:32, there was two other criminals that were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to the cross. The criminals were also crucified, one on the right, one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." As he's being nailed and crucified to a cross, as he's been whipped 39 times, blood is everywhere. He's saying, "God, forgive them." At one of the lowest places of his life, what is he praying? He's praying for forgiveness for other people. No matter who hurts me, no matter who bothers me, it's not, "I'm going to kill you." No, it's, "God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The soldiers gambled for his clothes, throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said, "but let him save himself. If he's really God, the Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too, offering him a drink of sour wine. They call out to him, "If you're really the king of the Jews, save yourself. If you're really a Christian, do this. If you're really a Christian, you wouldn't do that." A sign fastened above with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the criminals hanging there beside scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it. Save yourself. Us too, while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." And Jesus said to the man said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Yes, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Every single day, honestly, many of us are in situations just like this. There's three men crucified on a cross. You have one guy who's being forgiving, graceful. He's the Son of God. You have one person who's judging, laughing, mocking. And then you have one person in the group there that sees the situation for what it is. Man, God, I've screwed up. God, forgive me. In the moment, in the crossroad, on the cross, in the defining moment, God, forgive me. I see now, listening to my knucklehead friend who's making fun of you. The guy that I used to steal, we just robbed a bank not too long ago. That's why we're here. We killed people together. God, now listening to him, seeing him, and seeing you. God, now I see my sin. I finally get it. It's me. I'm not like my friend anymore who keeps pointing fingers at everybody else, keeps making fun of everybody else, keeps judging everybody else, who keeps talking about everyone else's mistakes. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And in this moment, Jesus becomes the offering for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we can be made right with God through Christ. My last verse. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power, that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. One of my favorite verses ever is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I come to give life. Life to the fullest. And so as we stop this morning and we get back to the picture of the crossroads, and we're thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about the spiritual life this morning that all of us are a part of. Whether we acknowledge God, whether we live for God, whether we pray, read our Bible, maybe we, you know, during meal times is when we pray. Maybe when we get in our car, it's the only time we pray. Save me from the crazy drivers, God, please. All of us in here, spiritually, some way, on some level of being a spiritual person, there's a crossroad this morning. God has put here in his word on this day, Resurrection Sunday, all that it means, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his son Jesus. And it's found in the story of Abraham. Abraham was willing to give his one and only son, his favorite son, Isaac. But because he was willing to do so, did he sacrifice his son? No. And in the end, who did? God did. God doesn't ask us to do something that he himself isn't willing to do. When God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, many people had lost sight of what love was. And so what did Jesus do when he was on the planet? He loved people unconditionally. There was people who were hated, tax collectors, prostitutes, people who would be on the lower spectrum of life. Who did God love? He loved everybody. He forgave everybody. Yeah. He healed everybody. But if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we don't hear Jesus doing a lot of things for what? Himself. What was he doing? He was giving constantly, 24/7, of serving, of healing people, delivering people, setting people free. On the opposite side this morning, God versus the devil, light versus dark, truth versus life. What's the devil trying to get us to do? He's trying to get us away from the things of Jesus. How would our world look if the Christians in every church were serving, were giving like they're supposed to, loving, forgiving, healing, What would the Church of Jesus Christ look like if all of us were truly following the Word of God like it says? How different would the world be if we forgave people before they even hurt us? How different would the world be if we fed every single hungry person we saw? How different would the world be if we took our money and we truly invested in the kingdom of God? It's a very low percentage of people who give. Why? Because many people haven't got the understanding of giving and what it means to give. And yet God, and yet the devil. We have truth, and we have lies. We ask ourselves this morning as we get to wrap up, I'm at a crossroads this morning. Maybe in our personal life, maybe in our job, maybe in certain relationships that we shouldn't be in. Maybe in a mental pattern that's really damaging my brain. Maybe in an emotional pattern that's damaging my life because I'm believing and I'm thinking things that aren't healthy. A crossroads. And am I more concerned this morning, and am I being more influenced by the one who disguises himself or herself? Am I being influenced by someone who's constantly saying, take care of yourself, take care of yourself, meet your own desires, make your own self happy? Whose voice would say that? The devil. Worry about you. Take care of you. Make yourself happy. Don't worry about anybody else. Focus on your image. You need to put your image out there. You need to get out there. Post it everywhere. Talk about it everywhere. Your image is so important what you do. Who's going to say that? It's not God. It's the devil. God gives. God serves. God sacrifices. God loves. God heals. God forgives. Which one have we been following? What path? God wants us to say the prayer, God, come into my heart. We know that's important. But more important, if we do nothing with the gospel other than say a little prayer, if we're not following, if we're following humanity to the left, well, I'm a Christian. It's amazing how many Christians I know who still cuss like pirates and truck drivers. It's amazing how many people hear that and they say, wow, I really thought they were different, but not really. How many people? Why? Because in the crossroads of life, there's a voice that we've become comfortable listening to, and is leading us down the wrong path. God wants you healed. God wants to provide for you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to save you. God has a mission, a purpose, and a plan. Jesus said, for full life, fullness. But you have to follow and choose to listen to me. All that God has for you this morning, all that he has for me, it's found in learning to listen to the right voice. In a defining moment this morning, Jesus, he died. He was buried in a tomb. He was treated as a dead man. But on the third day, we know that Jesus came to life. All of us in here this morning, we will stand and we will die one day. We all will stand before God. You will stand before God. Yes, did you ask for forgiveness? Hope so. But more importantly, he's going to say, what did you do for me after you asked for forgiveness? What did you do? Let's pray. As you close your eyes, you can actually pray with your eyes open if you want to, but typically we say, bow your heads and close your eyes. And it doesn't really matter. The important thing is, You know, at the end of a service, where we wrap up and we fully close and we get ready to pray, it's that you're allowing, not me, not John, not the guy up here with the microphone, you're allowing right now the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And so if that means your eyes are closed and you can hear and feel God, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, then close your eyes. If you need to lift your head up to the sky and you feel that you listen better when you got your head looking up, whatever it may be this morning, the most important thing is for every one of us, me, we, us, that we are putting ourselves in the position to hear the voice of God. Today, there is a crossroad that has been laid out in front of all of us. God wants to fully bless every one of us. God has the purpose, the mission, and the plan for every one of us. God heals. God saves. He sets free. God provides. But on the other hand, we know that there's the devil, who's a liar. He's the father of lies. And what is he lying about? It's all lies about God. We know the Bible says, actually, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. If you're constantly accusing the brethren, oh man. If you're constantly looking down upon the brethren, the sisters, if you're constantly, the devil is what? The accuser? Constantly trying to point out what? Others? If you're constantly accusing others, what do we know one of Satan's main titles is? He's the accuser of the brethren. And if you're constantly accusing other people, who do you think it's coming from? It's coming from the devil. There's a crossroad this morning. We know that opposites attract. And so for many people, being a Christian, sometimes they still get attracted to darkness. Sometimes as Christians, people get bored of the light. All of us in here this morning, we find ourselves in this moment. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter. We're not at a funeral because Jesus didn't stay dead. He came to life. This is a happy moment. This is a great moment. And what happens from this moment on is the most important decision of every one of our lives. We're at a crossroads. God is laying life in front of every one of us this morning. He said, there's been moments, yeah, you've heard my voice, you've followed me over here. Thank you. But I think God honestly says there's been way more moments where you followed the crowd, where you followed your own desire, where you followed your own, trying to build your own image, where you adored someone or something more than me. If we're honest this morning, because we're in church, it's a perfect place to be honest, how much more time that we listen the other guy. He steals, he kills, he destroys. He disguises himself. He's a liar. He dresses himself up like an angel of light. I'm your best friend. This is what you are. This is what you do. I'm your boss. If you want this job, this is what you have to do. If you want to fit in this little circle over here, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to talk like and be like and sound like. Jesus said, I have a full life for you. I was raised from the dead. I was dead for 3 days and I came back to life. Because the power of God, the mission. And you know why Jesus was raised to life? Because he did his Father's will. So with our eyes closed and heads bowed this morning, the most important thing and the most important decision we can decide every single waking moment is, am I following the will of God? Am I doing my Father's mission? Am I following Jesus? Am I graceful? Am I forgiving? Am I kind? Am I loving? Am I healing? Am I encouraging? Am I serving? Am I getting dirty? Am I giving myself and my money for the plan and purpose of God?